We're still going through the book of Revelation. In chapter 5, a sealed scroll was introduced to us. And one by one, the seals were opened in chapter 6 through seal number 6. And then we waited. We waited. See, God makes us wait sometimes. And here he is opening these seals of judgment on the earth. And then he makes us wait a little bit. And we have a slight pause while they reveal 144,000. And then we see a great multitude that came out of the great tribulation. Now you remember the first four seals were horsemen sent to the earth. One at a time. The first, a white horse, the Antichrist. The second one, a red horse, which removed all peace from the earth, causing war and killing. And the third was a black, brought famine. The fourth was a pale horse that brought death, and hell followed along behind him. And then the fifth seal opened up, and we saw all the souls under the altar, martyred for their faith. And then the sixth seal brought chaos to the earth with earthquakes and darkness. Now, if you noticed, as we went through there was a pattern that was established. The pattern was seven seals were broken into two different sets. Four followed by three. We had four horsemen followed by three additional judgments. Now we're gonna go into the trumpet judgments, and we're gonna see the same pattern. Four judgments followed by three more called woes. Which brings us to the seventh seal. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. The seal judgments are over. And the trumpet judgments are about to begin now. And they're going to be followed by the bowl judgments or vial judgments, whatever your translation says. And it's going to accumulate into the destruction of Babylon and then Jesus returned to earth. That's the whole rest of the book of Revelation in a nutshell. But you notice, from the seal judgments to the trumpet judgments to the bowl judgments, they become increasingly more intense, just like labor pains of a woman given birth. And you know her time is near when they get unbearable. So I'm told. The opening of this seventh seal brought a dead silence in heaven. All the heavenly hosts that had just worshipped the Father and the Lamb with this tremendous volume of praise in verse 10 of chapter 7 stopped. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, dead silent. Half an hour, 30 minutes, nobody, nothing. Why? Why'd that happen? When the seventh seal was broken, the scroll could be completely open. There was nothing stopping it from being open now. It only had seven seals on it. Didn't have 8, 9, or 10, or 12. So there was nothing left to restrain the carrying out of all these judgments coming on the earth. And so before they begin, there's a silence in heaven. The flashes of lightning, the thunderings stop. the four living creatures, they ceased about talking about the holiness of God. The 24 elders all around the throne, the heavenly hosts and the tribulation saints, they all kept quiet. It was an eerie silence that came across heaven. And everybody sat and waited. What was next? Will the people be given time to repent? Will God destroy the whole earth? God bless you. Something of a tremendous importance is on the horizon. God's intensified judgments are about to begin. And there's other scriptures that back all this up. If you go back to Zephaniah chapter 1, it says in verse 7, "Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand." And that's what this is. This is the day of the Lord. In Habakkuk, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him." What happened during this moment of silence? Well, John tells us, verse 2, it's all quiet in heaven, and John says, "I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne." Now I'm going to test your memory a little bit again. Back up in your mind to chapter 4 of Revelation. That's when John was taken up to heaven. And it says he saw the seven spirits of God. That word, spirits, is pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. It's translated angel. So he saw the seven spirits. He saw the seven angels. We see the seven angels again here. And these are God's messages. And everyone is given a trumpet. What were trumpets used for in Israel? They had a lot of purposes. They called the people together for a party. They declared war. They announced special feasts and times of gatherings. And so this awesome silence is followed by the actions of an angel holding a censer. There are some who say that angel is Jesus, because in the Old Testament, it references Jesus as the angel of the Lord. I don't believe that's the case here. I'll tell you why. John uses a word here, allos. That's another in Greek. And that word means another of the same kind. I carry this black pen everywhere I go. I have another black pen at home, just like this one. That's the same word. So another can't mean Jesus, because there is no other. He's unique. He's alone, right? So this is another angel that's here. Now, the tabernacle, you remember how that's all set up? There were two altars in the tabernacle, and there were two altars in the temple. Outside was the brazen altar where the sacrifices of the bulls and the goats and the lambs were. Inside the first room, which was the holy place, in front of the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, was a golden altar of incense. Now, we know from Exodus that God gave Moses the pattern for the tabernacle, which was made in the image of the heavenly tabernacle. You can read that in Hebrews 9. It talks about the earthly tabernacle. And here, John is talking about the heavenly tabernacle. On earth, we had a lampstand. And how many lamps did it have on it? Seven lamps. It represented the sevenfold spirits of God. Seven spirits, seven angels, seven lights. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. So we see this angel with a golden censer, just like the tabernacle on earth. Everything is just, it's all woven together perfectly. I love it. Heaven, earth, tabernacle, temple. That's the spot where Zacharias, when we went through our Christmas message, where Zacharias the priest was standing, ministering before the Lord, with an angel came before him and says, your wife Elizabeth is going to have a baby. He was offering incense along with prayers up to God. And verse 4 in Revelation chapter 8 says, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Prayers of the saints is not prayers of this special group that finally rose up to sainthood. Saints in the Bible is you and me, believers in Christ. All God's children are saints, set apart for God through faith in Jesus Christ. For centuries and centuries, God's people have been praying, and you and I pray it when we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Those prayers are now about to be answered, is what John says. There's an idea here that this incense is precious. It is pleasant, and it drifts up before God. So do our prayers. We saw that back in chapter 5. Incense and prayers go together, where it said, I'm quoting, each had golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And I talked about that. And I said, don't stop praying, so your bowl will get full and overflow. This angel now presents the incense, and our prayers, the ones that we just prayed this morning, are going up with the incense before God. So do not think your prayers are not heard, ever. Because Scripture tells us in Proverbs, the Lord's far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Now, sometimes we get the same answer the souls under the altar got. You got to wait a little longer. I've gotten that quite a bit. But that's not a reason to stop praying. Because Jesus says, keep knocking, keep seeking, keep praying. And so in 5, the angel took this censer. He fills it with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So I bet they took their trumpets and they put it up to their lips. That's getting ready. This censer going to the earth did two things. It told the inhabitants that were on the earth another wave of judgment's coming. They've already had six waves of judgment, four horsemen and two more, and here's the next one. Another one's coming. And it was a signal for the angels with the seven trumpets, you get ready because you're next. Now, you got to visualize this scene a little bit in your head. We have the Antichrist and the false prophet. And they rise to power. And they're hunting down God's people who won't take the mark of the beast. And they won't worship the Antichrist. And they're killing them. And these martyred saints arrive up in heaven praying to be avenged. How long, O Lord? And he says, a little bit longer, a little bit longer. And then after a time, God responds with this angel who hurls this burning censer to the earth. Now, maybe it's in the form of a meteor. I don't know. It could be. And it's followed by lightnings and thunder and earthquakes and wondeth. Wait a minute. Everything I just said, isn't that pretty close to what happened when Jesus died on the cross? The sky was darkened and there was thunder and lightning and earthquakes and people rose from the grave. And what did they say? The centurion himself said, truly, this was the Son of God. And they'll say it again. This is the hand of God. So the angels are ready. A warning shot's been shot across the bow. The first angel sounded, verse 7. And hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown to the earth. And one third of the trees were burnt up. And all green grass was burned up. You know there are some Bible experts that do not take that literally. They say that's an analogy. Well, I take it literally because the first trumpet is very much like the seventh plague of Egypt in the days of Moses. Rain of grievous hail and fire that smoked the cattle and the herbs and the trees. He rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, did he not? If God did this before, why can't he do it anytime he wants? He can do it again. I have never seen red rain or red hail, but they have found red snow. Yes. Captain Ross found red snow, Buffins Bay, Canada, in 1819. They discovered on Mount St. Bernard twice red snow. We're talking about God here. If he wants it to rain blood, it's going to rain blood. And he'll use whatever he wants to bring his judgment. And it says, because of this fire and hail, it says, one third of the trees and all the green grass is destroyed. No grass. So with all this loss of vegetation, soil erosion, floods, air pollution, the whole ecology of this earth is going to be just thrown out of balance during this time. And that's only the first trumpet now. verse 8 says, the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So the first trumpet landed on land, the second trumpet on the sea. And that reminds me of the plague on Egypt when Moses turned the water into blood. Look at the very close wording in that verse. It does not say a burning mountain will be thrown in the sea. It says something like a huge mountain burning will be thrown into the sea. Could be a giant burning asteroid. Whatever God wants it to be. That has properties that'll turn the sea into blood. Whatever it is, it's big. And it's blazing. And it kills a whole third of sea life and destroys a third of all the ships that are out there. And most likely, if it hits the ocean, it's going to create a huge tidal wave, resulting in more destruction. And that's only the second trumpet. Verse 10. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Sounds like a comet to me. A huge blazing object containing some kind of pollutant or poisonous substance falls out of the sky and contaminates the drinking water. I know it's hard for us to visualize this, but comets usually have cyanogen gas in them. And when you mix cyanogen gas with water, it forms a hydrogen cyanide, which is poisonous. At a concentration of only 5 parts per million, it'll cause death. God can do that. You know there's over 1,000 asteroids within our solar system that are big enough to cause this kind of damage if it hits the Earth? Scientists have found them. They're out there. And then we have the fourth trumpet. Verse 12. The fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. So the fourth trumpet affects the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars. There's going to be one-third less light energy available to support life on Earth. Did not Egypt have a plague for 3 days that it was dark? Now, we're not told how long that judgment, this one, lasts. But just think of the temperature change that's going to happen and how that's going to affect human health and food production. If the sun only produced two-thirds of its light, it's going to be cold. But these first four judgments, they're only chastisements, really, because only a part suffers for the good of the whole earth. Just one portion, only a third. God is merciful. He doesn't wipe everybody out. And we can take these and we can relate these chastisements to our own life, where sometimes he chastises me for the purpose of me correcting myself. Repentance is called. The Lord finds a way to bring a little bit of pain to the disobedient soul, urging him to turn from his evil path and then seek the way of righteousness and find resting place. So these judgments are corrective in purpose, and they're not meant to destroy the earth. And I looked, verse 13, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Now, maybe your translation said eagle instead of angel. So I looked that up. I did find four translations that said eagle, not angel. The Amplified Bible, the New International, the American Standard, and the New American Standard use eagle instead of angel. So what was it? Was it an angel or was it an eagle in the sky? Well, maybe it could have been that eagle-like creature that John saw when he saw the four. Or it could have been one of God's angels. If God can make Balaam's donkey talk, he can have an eagle fly across and talk too. It's not important what it was. What's important was the message. The message was, more judgment is coming to the whole earth. And that phrase, to the inhabitants of the earth, or them that dwell on the earth, that comes up about 12 times in Revelation. And it means a whole lot more than just people who live on the earth. That's not what it means. It's referring to kind of people. Those who live here for the earth and the things of the earth. And later on, we're going to find out that it means unbelievers. God is giving mankind, all unbelievers, one more chance to repent before the next three judgments come. And the warning with the three woes is telling the world that the calamities to follow are going to be a whole lot more terrible, a whole lot more intense than the previous ones. Which is a warning to all of us today. Come to Christ now, before the day of the Lord comes. Lord, we thank you for this last chance. We thank you for this warning. We thank you for your scripture. We know it's going to be terrible and we don't want to be here, so let us come and accept you as our Lord and Savior today. And when you call up your bride of Christ, we will be among you. Give us words to witness to those that we know that are not followers of you. Given them one more chance. Our neighbor, our family, our friends. Increase our memory of the word so that we can quote the scriptures to them. Continue to to bless us as we follow you, Lord. And we look forward to what you're going to be saying in chapter 9. In Jesus Christ, we come. Amen.